to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Jasmine Field, and I am joined with my awesome co-host, Miss Michelle Benoit, in the studio. We're so excited to be here, everybody. And today we're going to be talking about something that is very relevant in each of our walks, but also is very relevant, I think, when we do outreach, when we have people in our family or friends that we're around who have a concept of God having enough and finally turning away. We're going to be talking about grace versus lasciviousness. And this is a really wonderful thing to just wrap our minds around, Michelle, because we do have capacity as people to say, you know what, you have struck me down too many times, you have failed me too many times, I will not give you any more chances. Or the opposite, you know what, I don't like that you're taking advantage of me because I've been kind to you, because I've been forgiving, I have a limit. But it's amazing to hear the mind of God on this topic, so I'm really excited to dive in. But before we do, I know you have a couple of announcements for us as well.
I do. Tuesday Morning Connection starts on September 5th.
Woo!
And Cheryl Bogardus and I wrote this book. It's called
Wow.
I Am the Way.
Beautiful.
We're going to be going through all the I Ams of Jesus.
Oh, awesome.
So you can register online at ggw.org/events.
Okay.
It meets Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. in Classroom 1.
Wow.
It's a wonderful book. It's a DIY Bible study. You go home and study and come back and chat. And
okay.
At the Women's Seminar, which is September 22nd and 23rd, we will have this also for you to purchase, and a beautiful little notebook.
Oh,
a beautiful little blank book.
Look at that. Yep. I love that.
So the Bible study is $8 at the seminar, and the little book will be $5.
Wow.
So that'll be fun. September 22nd and 23rd. Don't miss it.
How exciting.
This week is all about balance.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about that last night,
mm-hmm.
and I'm thrilled that we're in August, because I was sitting with my calendar yesterday afternoon after church.
Oh, my.
Deciding. Now, if your life is like a big mason jar, it depends. You can only put so much in.
We right.
only have 168 hours a week. That's it.
You have and calculated that.
Well, I read this book called What Do You Do with 168 Hours?
Oh, okay.
So it stuck in my mind. Yeah.
Okay.
So this is the time to decide what your fall is going to look like.
Yes.
You make your decisions, then your decisions make you.
Yes, it's so true.
Yep.
And balance, like you said, is so important, because we're drawn to do so much, but we also have a capacity. If we have kids that are in the mix, we have to think about their capacity. We have to think about our husbands. And you know what? I think we fail to think about ourselves too, Michelle. Sometimes we say, well, this is a great opportunity, so I'm going to go for it. But, you know, I was telling you in reading a devotional by Pastor Stevens a few days ago, it really struck me when he said, do your prayers have contact with the throne?
Mm.
And I just thought about that. Like, what if that is the basis by which I make these decisions?
Sure.
Have I really lifted it up and waited for a word from God? So that's awesome. That's wonderful. And we need to hear about balance over
yep.
and over and over again.
Yep. This is an important time. You need to decide if you're going to Bible college.
Mm-hmm.
And that probably answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
I already signed up.
All right.
So you're going to need times of input.
Yes.
Think of the mason jar of your life. You can only put so much in it.
Yes.
Put the big things in first.
Yes.
So for me, it's Grace Hour. Here we are once
yes,
a month.
Yes, for me as well.
And Bible college for me. That had to go in first. And Lisa Turkhurst wrote a book called The Best Yes.
Yes.
And she
okay.
said, trace the river as far as you can before you jump in.
Wow.
So I sat with a mock schedule and like, okay, really, how would this look?
Yes. I did the same thing. I had about three different scenarios of how the fall
yes.
could go. And I was like, trace how much you're driving in
yes.
each scenario.
Yes.
What is actually going on in the middle of the day with you by the time you've done all this in the morning?
Yes.
You know, because if we're only outputting, but we're not allowing God to be investing in us
yes.
through Bible college, through having devotional time, through, for me, I'll be going to a weekly Thursday night Thrive at the Edge Church, and I just love hearing
so
the messages from Pastor James Bryson and Adrian, and it's just wonderful to know that I can go to a place where I'm being replenished as well, because you never stop needing that.
Good.
Never.
Good. Good
Never.
Point.
Yeah.
Well, Martin Luther says the devil doesn't care which side of the horse you fall off on as long as you don't stay in the saddle.
Wow.
So today we're talking about grace versus lasciviousness. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, this title threw me for a loop a month ago when I found out about that.
Yeah, me too.
But I happen to be reading Breaking Carnal Connections by Dr. Stevens.
All right.
And he defines it beautifully. Romans 8, 5, and 6, to be carnally minded is death.
Okay,
and I guess you can figure that's not grace.
Right.
But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we're making a choice here.
Okay.
And Dr. Stevens says everyone has two histories operating in their mind concurrently.
Okay.
We've got our genetic history in Adam, and I'm reading from this book. It includes all the sinful traits passed down from Adam in our cells. Thank you. Thank you, Dad. Psalm 51, 5 and 58, we were shapen in iniquity. That's what that means. You have to teach a child to walk. You do not have to teach them how to lie.
Yes.
How does those lies and that naughtiness pop right out?
It's very natural.
And then we also have our personal history, which we can remember all the things. I can remember the candy bar I stole when I was 7 years old.
Okay? Michelle Benoit.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Yep.
That's okay. I took a bracelet, actually.
So we've got these two histories running around in our mind. What do we do with them?
But you know, I love the starting point of that, Michelle, which is that you need to go ahead and acknowledge and embrace the fact that this state of depravity is a very relevant portion of who you are. Now, if it was that we knew that and it ended there, that's a very hopeless situation.
True.
But we can't just ignore it or downplay it because we have these desires to be more like God, and we don't want to make sure we're constantly lifting up what those weaknesses are and where we want him to touch on a regular basis.
Right.
You know, we are still depraved reaching up towards heaven.
Amen.
And instead of turning away, God says this connection for us is prayer. This connection for us is what I did on the cross. But you need to understand both. It's kind of like a know your place, you know, but in a more loving and gentle way. Remember, I'm God. I want to be God for you. But let's keep discovering, you know, I love that theme of our conference this summer, of our convention. Let's keep discovering why you need me. And don't forget that you're always going to be discovering how much you need me as you go through these different seasons in your life.
Beautiful. Let's start by defining grace. And again, from Dr. Stevens, Beyond Morals into Divine Light, he starts out with Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, 9, my grace is sufficient for you. Mm-hmm. My strength is made perfect in weakness.
Yes.
Now, Paul was an amazing guy, but the Lord purposely allowed him to have a thorn in the flesh, and Paul never defines it. I think it's chocolate, but probably not everyone thinks it's that. All right. So we understand that grace is sufficient for us, his strength. Now, it doesn't make sense if you want to be this perfect person.
Right.
You know, how is this going to work?
Mm.
Well, grace says all my sins are paid for and I'm going to heaven.
Right.
So we could flip to lasciviousness, which is unrestrained behavior, a habitual inclination.
Yes.
And it's amazing that Pastor Schaller talked about this yesterday morning.
Mm-hmm.
But it also means lewdness, filthy, immorality, you know, it's the idea that I can do whatever I want.
Right.
There's only one issue in life. Can you say no to yourself?
Right.
And
right.
it's very hard. We get it.
That's so true.
Is there a balance to grace? Mm-hmm. Well, yes, there is. Mm-hmm. And we'll start with Jesus in John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Wow.
To be Christ-like is to be full of what he was.
Mm-hmm.
Grace and lasciviousness?
Mm-hmm.
No. Grace and truth.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just read you a little quote in his book, The Grace and Truth Paradox. Mm. Randy Alcorn writes, truth-oriented Christians love studying scripture, but sometimes they're quick to judge and slow to forgive.
Yep.
Truth without grace breeds self-righteous legalism that poisons the church and pushes the world away from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So that's too much truth with no grace. Grace-oriented Christians love forgiveness and freedom, but sometimes they neglect Bible study and see moral standards as legalism. Grace without truth breeds moral indifference and keeps people from seeing their need for Christ. If we minimize grace in favor of truth, the world sees no hope for salvation.
Right.
They can't do it.
Right.
If we minimize truth at the and just embrace grace, the world sees no need for salvation.
Wow. You know, this is important, Michelle, because, you know, the word balance when it comes to our spiritual life, you know, it's very important for us to understand that we're one decision away from leaning on one side too much.
Sure.
Sometimes a decision that we just made, when we review it and we really lift it up and say, God, was that correct? Was my response too much in my emotion? Was it on a whim? Was it me taking grace too far? Because maybe there is some discipline that's needed here. Maybe self-discipline is needed here, you know, and it's important to understand, you know, the heart is what makes a lot of our decisions for us.
Oh,
and God has warned us greatly about the fact that that needs to be surrendered to Him.
I'll just tell you, I got in big trouble in May because I did something that I felt led to do.
Okay.
But it was against what I was told.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. And I had to realize it wasn't a mistake.
Right.
It was sin. I sinned. I valued my opinion more than the person I was accountable for.
Yes.
Accountable to.
Yes.
Biblical truths are guardrails that protect us from plunging off a cliff. A smart traveler doesn't curse the guardrails. Why are there guardrails around the Grand Canyon? I want to drive right in. But when you look over the cliff and you see a pile of demolished autos, you're grateful for those guardrails. So let's talk about the heart.
Yeah.
All this originates in our heart,
yes,
right?
Yes. You know, I was reading Romans 1:21, as I had shared with you yesterday, and I thought, like, what is the process of how we begin turning away from God and lusting for something else? We actually spoke about this a little bit in Edgewood as well. Pastor James was talking about idols of the heart. And sometimes we don't even realize that we have begun a worship process towards something else. We don't see it that way. We say, no, this is what it means to be determined. This is what it means to be hardworking. This is what it means to be committed, you know. But God says, yes, but can you hear my voice anymore? Are we really staying connected, or are you so focused on what this was in the beginning that you're not allowing me to transform it as you're in the process? You know, we can never know God's mind just by Him putting something on our heart in one prayer. We're following His leading. And honestly, Michelle, and you can attest to this, as we continue to grow in our walk, would you say that we're always learning to decipher whether or not the voice we heard was ours versus God's? Because sometimes we think we got it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that could be the trouble point where our heart is deceiving us, as we're told in Jeremiah that it does do.
Yeah.
Just like the situation you went through in May. Michelle, this is good. Maybe God is involved, but He's not leading. You know, maybe there's a scripture that supports what you want to do. However, it's different from the scripture that He put on your heart that morning.
Yeah.
You know, but Romans 1:21, it says, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And so as a result, their minds became dark and confused. So let's follow that process a little bit. When do you know you're falling away, maybe into a lust pattern? Because when we think about lasciviousness, it's not just limited to a sexual lust.
Sure.
You know, when we think about Easton Bible Dictionary's definition, it says it's the sinful longing. Okay. Lust is a sinful longing, the inward sin, which leads to the falling away from God. So let's see how this process goes. In Romans, it says they wouldn't worship Him. So now your worship is turning away from God to something else. They wouldn't give Him thanks. You're no longer thankful. There's always something to be grateful for. You know, every day we should be looking for ways to say, thank you, Lord, before we say, give me, Lord, right?
Yeah.
Then they started to think up foolish ideas. We're starting to redefine God now, maybe based on our convenience. What God said is a little hard for me, makes me too uncomfortable. I'm sure He's okay with this. He loves me. Or what a lot of people say is, He'll forgive me. He knows I'm weak. He knows I'm just a human being. So now before you go into the decision, you're leaning on the forgiveness in a way that's a little bit distorted. I mean, yes, the forgiveness is there for you, but it's not meant to be abused according to your own wisdom. And then what was the end result of this redefinition of God? Darkness and confusion of the mind. Now you're functioning in a way where you know that you're still a believer. This isn't about you losing salvation. This isn't about you not following God anymore. This is about this specific season or this specific decision. You're not really saying the final say is whether or not this is God's will. You're allowing these other things to influence you. And now it's kind of this confusing mixture. I love God, but my emotions are so strong. I love God, but when I think about this, it makes me think I have to lean on him too much. I don't really like that whole grace is sufficient verse right now, because I don't know if God can really fulfill this need in me.
Well, you know, if we're just going to follow God wholly, it's going to be boring, right?
Right.
We're not going to get to watch the latest show that everyone is watching and talking about every week. We're mm-hmm. not going to read the latest book. I went and checked out the number one book of the summer.
Oh, you did?
Oh, it's full of sin. It was like, really?
That's I'm the so curious.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
But see, that's the thing that, and that's how we can think. I'm missing something if my life's focus is obedience to God. I am missing something. I'm missing a thrill. I'm missing adventure. I'm missing being active in these conversations. Yeah. Nobody wants to be the one in the circle who has not seen that or heard that song.
Yeah.
But you know, Paul says we should take it as a compliment when people recognize God in you. Yeah. It's a peculiarity that makes them think, how could she not know that?
Well, you know, we think like Eve. Mm-hmm. You know, there's that pretty shiny thing. It looks good. I'm sure it's going to taste good, and mm-hmm. it's going to make me wise.
Right.
You know, it's going to give me the triple thrill.
Right.
But you know what? Everything that we go to against God, whether it's a pornography, the summer book of the year everyone's mm-hmm. reading, mm-hmm. the show that everyone's talking about. Mm-hmm. Oh, it doesn't fulfill long term.
It doesn't. And you know, that's the lie. We can say, well, because for this one moment, I feel better. Then maybe that moment will extend itself. But that is the lust pattern. You're looking for something outside of God. You want something to take his place. And God talks about lasting joy, lasting peace.
Beautiful.
Because that substance is so pure. But you know what? Purity takes pursuit of patience and pursuit of trust in God. And both of those things are not always easy. They're just not.
Beautiful. So you could say, well, it doesn't matter what I watch on mm-hmm. Netflix. It doesn't matter what I sit and read on my back porch, but it does.
It does.
In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul addresses the sin of the Corinthians, who were way overloaded on grace. And they've got a guy who's committing incest in the midst of church, and they didn't want to say anything about it. They didn't want to hurt his feelings.
Oh my gosh, aren't we in that position a lot? Should I say something? Should I not say something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Paul said, remove him. Don't even associate with him. Don't eat with him.
Wow.
Because the sin of one affects everyone.
Absolutely.
Even if all we do is come to church and we, you know, don't make
choose
eye contact,
to turn away.
You know, we have a sin pattern that we're enjoying at home.
Right.
So we come to church and we don't make eye contact, we don't reach out because we're feeling guilty.
Yep. Yep.
You know, it's not worth it.
No.
And Paul, this is unbelievable that we were studying this week, and Pastor Schaller talked about Galatians 5. The works of the flesh are manifest, and there's 19 of them. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderings, drunkenness, revelings, and of the such. I tell you before, and I've told you in time past, this isn't the first time he addressed this, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Wow.
And that English word do, you can put a circle around it. It's not the do that you think of. It means practice. It means perform repeatedly. Yes, everyone who has committed adultery can be forgiven.
Yes.
Moses murdered someone.
Yes.
He was forgiven.
Yes.
But we don't walk into this thing saying, well, I could murder my husband. I know I'll be forgiven.
Oh, I sure hope not.
You know, this meat, hello, you're not saved.
Right.
If you're thinking that way, if you're planning evil, mm-hmm. and you're like, well, I'll just read this great book because everyone's talking about it, but then I'll tell God I'm so sorry.
Right.
No.
Right.
No, this right. is not right.
Right. And that's why we have the conviction, right?
Yes.
And conviction is truly a blessing. It's a reminder of the boundary. You are different now. This isn't going to go into you, and you're not going to have a sense that I'm being grieved. Those days are over. You're mine now. Mm. You've surrendered your heart to me now. And part of that is making sure that we keep the garbage out.
I love that.
So I have to make sure that there's not this comfortability going on in you internally, but it's still your choice whether or not you're going to listen to it and pursue it. Because if you are striding along in your emotion, or again, in your fear that God really can't take care of this need. So God, I have to have this thing because you can't do this for me. Let's just be honest. You can't. There's no scripture that will heal this issue in me. There's no scripture that speaks to me in this sexual desire inside of me. There's no scripture that can help me forgive this person that wronged me so bad. They deserve to feel guilty the whole rest of their life. Mm. Do we really believe that God is capable of taking his grace into measures and depths of our heart where we don't want anyone touching. We don't even want to see it. But then we see the manifestations when we reach for those books, when we have those binge nights, you know, when we're with our friends and a connection just can't be made. You know, these are ways that God, in his mercy and in his grace, is reminding us we still have a lot that we need to converse about. I'm still doing a great work in you. Amen. And there's no time limit. It's about us and our ongoing fellowship. Amen. One day at a time is how I reveal the healing. One day at a time when you pursue my word is how I reveal a scripture that strikes your heart, maybe unexpectedly. And you say, wow, I've never had a word to apply to this issue deep down in me before. Thank you, Lord, that I can discover you more deeply as I learn what you have to say to me.
Amen.
You know,
back into this book, Beyond Morals into Divine Light. Dr. Stevens says, God is not giving us a license to sin. Mm-hmm. He's showing us how to be rightly related to him in divine light.
Mm-hmm.
With this kind of provision available, only a fool would want to live in sin.
Wow.
I sin enough without meaning to,
mm-hmm.
never mind planning to.
Right.
You know, we went right. to see a movie this weekend. It was not rated R, I'll tell you.
Oh, but that's not the safeguard anymore.
I know, but
it's
for me, it's a minimum.
Now. Right.
You know, I never go see a movie without watching the trailer, reading reviews, previewing how is it going to go.
That's amazing. That's
you know,
great.
And listen to this, same from this book. A Christian who is confessed up to date, reflecting God's nature in uncreated light, has no consciousness of sin.
Hmm.
Don't we want to live? I mean, I have consciousness of my hips, hmm. you know, of my flabby arms. I have consciousness of how short I am. But to be unconscious of sin.
That's amazing.
It's what I'm looking forward to the most in heaven, mm-hmm. that we will be unself-conscious.
Wow.
And Dr. Stephen says, without the consciousness of sin, and that's in Romans 10:2. Look it up. I had to look it up this morning because I didn't believe it. There is no condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 8:1. If God has forgotten your confessed sin, you can forget it too. Without
wow.
condemnation, there's no guilt
mm.
because your conscience has been purged by the blood of Jesus Christ through the eternal spirit.
Wow.
Romans 9:14.
Wow.
Absent from guilt, the conscience is free to function in a reflection of God's nature instead of being occupied with human nature.
Wow.
Read some of those
that
doctrine booklets
incredible.
You have on your shelf.
Yes.
They're
it's
not
so
that hard.
Rich. It's so rich because it really shows you the practical ways that you think and how one turn in the thought can turn into lasciviousness.
Yes.
Or one turn in the thought can yes. help you to be forgiving, help you to be merciful, right?
Yes.
But we have to understand more and more the character and the nature of God and what he wants us to discover about him. You know, that is so mm. incredible. That's amazing. I'm going to make sure I get that book as well.
Oh, there are so many good ones.
Wow.
We're so thankful for the comments on Facebook and on YouTube. Thank you so much for taking the time to connect with us.
Yes, thank you, everybody. Thank you.
So how do we avoid entering into lasciviousness? Okay. We know we have grace. Mm-hmm. You know, back in Paul's day, they talked about not eating meat sacrificed to idols.
Right.
Well, why? It was so stinking cheap at the grocery store. You know, here's this pre-sacrificed meat.
Right.
It's on sale for half the price.
Right.
You know, why can't I get it?
Sure.
You know, here's this little book at the library. I can just borrow it for free, read real quick, mm-hmm. skip past the bad parts.
Right. And so, don't we do that?
Do you see the mental gymnastics that you're going through?
Yes. And usually that's a big indicator. I love that you said that. If I have to do 10 or 12 different steps so that this is kind of okay with God, that's usually a big indicator that it's not okay with God. You know, and we do that. And I love that list. I mean, I know that that's a very unflattering list of what you read about. This is us in our human nature. But you know what? Instead of reading that and saying, I would never, what you have to do is read that and say, that's you without God.
Yes.
That's you without God. Everything about you, where you are fellowshipping with the Spirit, where you're raising your hands in service, where you're opening that Bible and you're eating that bread of life, that is the Spirit's leading. Without God, you're actually not that great.
Well, we weren't that great before we got saved. Right. We thought we were amazing.
I know. So much of our thinking was, again, did we want? We wanted those things about how people thought about us, how we felt about ourselves. We wanted it to be this allowable pride. You know, that's what we wanted. It's okay for me to be glorified a little bit. I mean, why not? You know, but how different is Jesus? You know, actually, why don't, instead of trying to come first, you come last? You know, the thought processes is just so different when we think about the character and nature of God.
And Paul says in another place, and he mentions a whole list of horrible things. And then he says, and such were some of you.
Yes.
Were. Mm. So if you're listening to us this morning and feeling guilty, well, freedom and cleanliness is just a little prayer away.
Yes.
And it's, Lord, forgive me.
Yes.
That's it. 1 John 1:9. If we confess, he's faithful to cleanse and to give us that beautiful ordained peace that comes from being clean before the Lord.
And as we're coming out of things, Michelle, because some of us are still battling addictions, or some of us still have people in the past that we have weaknesses for, you know, sometimes we need that forgiveness multiple times a day while we're in this transition. And God never says, that's enough grace. We have talked about this 15 times today. We have discussed this 35 times in the last afternoon. Like, that's enough, you know? But this is a trait about God that we have to make sure that we truly understand. God's capacity is not like our capacity. He says there is infinite wisdom. There's infinite forgiveness. I mean, he went to the cross. He made a very bold statement so that once and for all, every time we start to doubt, he can say, remember what I did for you. That's enough to cover everything about your life.
Beautiful. You may hear on a show or in a movie, you just have to forgive yourself.
Yes.
That's impossible.
Right.
You don't have it to forgive yourself.
Right.
You just have to receive God's forgiveness. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to this and you're uncomfortable, maybe you're not saved.
Mm.
It's so simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved.
Yes.
Come unto him.
Yes.
He is meek and lowly, and he loves you and is interested in restoring you.
Amen.
And you don't have to get cleaned up or be perfect before it happens.
Yeah, you don't have to try to make yourself look good before you embrace God. I mean, think about what we're talking about today. He sees your heart anyway, right? You can have on the best suit or the prettiest dress, but you know, man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. So he's saying, I want your heart. And only I can go in there and do a lot of great work. You can't, other people can't, no thrilling experience can. It's only me. And I've designed you that way. I've designed you to long for me. But will you choose me? Or will these other things be what you start lusting for, wanting something to replace me? It won't satisfy.
It won't.
It just won't.
And after salvation, you may be surprised that you keep sinning.
Right. I know. I thought it was over. I did the prayer.
I mean,
I did everything.
Maybe you're not planning a bank robbery anymore. Good girl. But, you know, maybe you're cheating in other different little ways.
Sure.
you know, oh, a little fudging on the income tax won't hurt anybody. Right. Who's it going to hurt?
Right.
Well, you know, number one, how do we keep from entering into lasciviousness when it comes to too much grace, our beautiful ocean of grace? Well, recognize there's an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
He's not happy
right.
about you getting grace.
Right.
He's
right.
never going to receive grace mm-hmm. because he doesn't want to repent. It's mm-hmm. not that God is keeping the devil the devil. The devil doesn't want to repent. Mm. And there he is. So he's going to be who he's going to be. But that's not for you.
Right.
His mercies are new for us every morning.
Amen.
But recognize you have an enemy.
Oh, yes.
And when there's confusion and too much talking and we can't figure out a straight path.
Right.
And usually the enemy has clouded something.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
You know, I remember hearing someone say in a Bible study once years ago, Michelle, remember that God has an amazing plan for your life, but don't forget that Satan has a plan for your life too.
Yep.
And it was such a balanced statement
yes.
for me to hear. You know, of course, God is always there and available, but Satan is waiting for me to deviate from the path and start gazing at him so that he can enter into the ways that he wants to deceive me as well. And it's a healthy battle every day.
Now, Paul got saved on the road to Damascus, mm-hmm. met the Lord, but even he says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, way after his salvation experience, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, mm-hmm. lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Mm. And that word keep under, what does that sound? What does that bring to mind? Well, in the Greek mind, it meant to beat it black and blue.
Wow.
I know. I know. Like a boxer.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, buffeting his body, handling it roughly, disciplining it by hardships.
Okay.
And bring it into subjection. Again, the Greek mind, it was crystal clear. Make your body a slave.
Wow.
Be a slave driver. I think sometimes we use too much grace mm-hmm. on ourselves. Mm-hmm. We let too much slide.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to let your loved one slide,
sure.
but Paul says, hey, look, this is what I'm doing.
Right.
I am beating myself up, not with the law, but just watching myself on myself. Now, Paul didn't have pornography or Netflix or anything. I doubt he even saw a woman's ankle, you know, but he recognized, wow, I have to be careful. The
yes.
apostle. And lest I become a castaway, rejected, reprobate, not standing the test, worthless.
Wow.
So here's Paul,
wow.
after all he's gone through, concerned,
mm-hmm.
we should be just as concerned today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do we not enter into lasciviousness? Watch what you wear.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do the bend over test. Make sure.
Yes.
When you squat to pick something up, how much of your leg is showing?
Sure.
Oh, you say that doesn't matter. Well, it does.
It does. Especially
it does.
You don't know who you're around. You know, I remember when we spoke about this during our show on modesty. Are you creating a safe place for mm-hmm. anyone who's coming into service that day to be around you?
Yeah.
Or are you contributing to the distracting? Are you contributing to them going off on a lustful pattern involuntarily because people think differently and they're coming from different perspectives? Remember, church is a hospital,
mm-hmm.
right? We're coming there to have the wounds bound by the word. And so if I'm already there saying it took everything in me to get here and then I'm very distracted by you, it's very difficult.
It is. Avoid flirtation
mm-hmm.
and sexual banter
mm-hmm.
with anybody.
Yes.
Your girlfriends, your boss, your coworkers.
Yes.
I've seen wedding shower decorations that
oh.
I am horrified by. I would die.
Oh.
I would die.
Well, you know, I've also seen just, you know, throughout the years, I do think there's been kind of like this passivity, even within some church environments, you know, a little flirting won't hurt anybody. You know, I know that my husband loves me. He knows I love him. This is okay with us, you know, kind of a thing. But you never know what that can multiply into. But rather than making it about your standard for each other, how about the standard is a holiness standard?
Beautiful.
Is God okay with that? Is God okay with you giving even a little bit of attention that's supposed to go to your spouse? to someone else. Mm-hmm. If he's not, it doesn't matter how much you want to water it down, or if you say, oh, I give it the thumbs up, then you both can surrender and say, you know what, this might be our sense of humor. Our lives are different now. The standard for our marriage is not that we have final say on everything. We take it to God, and we're both in unison about that.
Beautiful.
So many things enter in through those little avenues.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But we don't realize it's going to be energized
right.
by the atmosphere.
Right, right.
Don't minimize the truth.
Hmm.
You know, truth is truth is truth is truth.
Right.
Come to Bible College. Mm. Learn about truth. I'll
Amen.
Be there Monday night. Paul also said to Timothy, flee youthful lusts.
Hmm.
There are things we did when we were young and stupid and didn't know any better.
Yep.
And we're not going to talk about them today.
Mm-mm.
But I'm not riding motorcycles, wearing halter tops, and smoking pot anymore. Glory to God.
Amen, Michelle.
Let's not ever go back there.
Yeah, right.
Let's not, you know, I don't care that marijuana is legalized. You're not finding it in my house.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care that you can buy all the alcohol you want. You're not finding it in my house.
Amen.
Ever, never, never.
Mm.
Paul says, purge yourself from these. Mm. Be a vessel of honor, sanctified meat for the master's use, prepared for every good work.
Yes.
If the Lord can't trust you with the little things, how
right.
is he ever going to trust you
right.
with the big things?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I think about this, Michelle, because when we think about how much our heart can be divided. I mean, like you said, we have this personal history. We have our insecurities. We have this amazing glow around the fact that God is even interested in us when we think about our developing relationship with him. But so much in the epicenter of our heart is what actually determines the decisions that we're going to make.
Sure.
It really is the center of everything that you do. And I remember just reading this Christian article on leadership. The pastor had said, when your heart is surrendered to God, so much fruit can be bared.
Mm.
But if your heart is still divided and attached to other things, that fruit will also be bared, you know, or it will also bore a lot of fruit that is contrasting to God. So I think about these verses like Proverbs 4:23, even King Solomon warns us, guard your heart. You know, why does he say that? You know, because out of it is the wellspring of life. What kind of life? What is the fruit? What's in the epicenter of your heart? Or think about Romans 10:9. You know, it is very necessary for us that we're submitted to Christ, because when we are confessing over and over again, Christ, it's you that has my life. And I like what you said in one of our previous shows. You say the truth and you let the emotions catch up. I love that. You know, sometimes it's just about you defining yourself according to Christ again and again and again, while something's in your hand, when you're looking at that phone call that you're trying to decline. You know, those are the things that come back from the past and they say, hey, listen, these people are kind, they're forgiving, they'll take you back if you do this, if you slip away, and so will God, supposedly, you know. But think about the ending. We like to think about the momentary fulfillment. What about the ending? And you know what gets me? If you are going to make this decision now, Jasmine, I want you to think about tomorrow morning when you wake up. How will you feel? That aftermath. Am I feeling proud? You know, did I put something that was garbage in my mind before I went to bed? Did I handle a situation totally in my flesh and use my authority against someone, maybe my kids? You know, did I just let my emotions totally run the show, even though I heard that still small voice saying, this is a time to be quiet, and I just kept talking? You know, it's so much that enters in and it wants to set up camp in our heart. And sometimes
sure.
it does.
Sure.
And then when God starts pulling those stakes, we kind of panic, you know, and we need the word, you know, reiterated, getting us through.
I'm sure the day after Uriah died, mm-hmm. David would have loved to have rewound
mm-hmm.
the timeline and not looked at Bathsheba.
Mm.
And Bathsheba, she's not a victim.
Right.
Who's up on their roof?
I know. I've always kind of been like, now...
Please.
I know David was wrong,
did you
help a little bit?
You live right next to the castle. That's in your mind all the time. It's like doing it at church.
Right.
You know,
right.
please.
Right.
So we've got David falling big time, but repenting, still being the man who's after God's heart. Moses falling big time, but repenting, being the friend of God. The prodigal son is a cautionary tale about giving into our youthful lust and desires.
Yes.
His reckless behavior led to his downfall, but repentance and return shows us that grace and forgiveness is available.
Wow.
Lascivious means excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures.
Yes.
It's also having complete disregard for the integrity and honor of others.
Mm-hmm.
We would be remiss if we didn't bring up, maybe you were not the lascivious one, but you were a victim of someone else's lasciviousness. Mm-hmm. Maybe you were too young to even understand what was happening. You've been abused.
Yes.
You've been coerced.
Yes.
You were tricked into giving up your purity.
Mm-hmm.
You were raped, molested. We are so sorry.
Yes.
Our hearts break for you. Our hearts break for you.
Yeah. And these things are not, you know, even though, of course, our the scriptures are such healing balms, we have to be patient with ourselves, Michelle, as we are transforming into what God has called us to be. And I love what you had said originally at the beginning of the show. You know, a lot of things, some of it can be our fault. Other things are not.
Yes.
You know, and we have to have that proper distinguishing between what I willingly said yes to versus what I didn't realize I was saying yes to. Or like you said, a betrayal or a trap, you know, and those things can really be very difficult to uproot in our heart. And they can actually turn us into completely different people. But I love what you're emphasizing here about what God has made as the provision. He knows, because he knows human nature. He knows we're going to encounter so many trials. But instead of staying there and fellowshipping with that, he has made this provision for us. Look at the cross. Look at me. I remember Brenda Kosiolek saying at one of the women's Labor Day retreats years ago, what you gaze at, you become.
Sure.
And I just think about all the things that we gaze at. We can just let so many things take our attention because it was so devastating. And I don't think God is saying, don't acknowledge how painful it was. But even if it's every day, please give me that pain. Even if that's all you can give me that day.
Beautiful.
Give me the pain so that we can continue on this journey of healing. And don't rush yourself. Don't compare yourself. Just hear my voice.
Beautiful. Let me read something from Sidewalk Scribbles. This is a book written by Laura Hofsis Garner.
I saw the post about that.
Such a good book. And I got it from Amazon. You can get it there too.
Awesome.
The stunningly generous gift. Let me read this to you. He told me that all, and this is for you, if you're struggling with forgiveness for someone else.
Yes.
For yourself, you cannot forgive yourself, but you can receive God's forgiveness and apply it to yourself.
Yes.
The stunningly generous gift. He told me that all that would please him was this one gift. It was hard to find. I searched everywhere for the item, but I couldn't find it. I started to think it was a cruel prank. He had tricked me, wasted my time. I believed in him, and now I felt like a fool. It didn't exist, and I didn't believe. I resented him and it. Our relationship was broken. I decided to look in other places for better gifts, real gifts, gifts that I could find and see and touch. I found them, worked for them, bought them. They were attractive and alluring. They were good, finally reality, something concrete, but something was still missing. I hadn't found it. Mystery, life, communion, emptiness was in my glittering packages. There had to be more. No. I stubbornly told myself, don't fall for it again. Don't fall for him again. I resisted the urge to believe him, but everything was misery. Brushing my teeth, driving my car. What is the point when you don't believe? Tears fell, fist clenched and voice raised. Where are you? It wasn't a question. It was an accusation. In a moment, I felt his presence again. His fingers brushed mine. He tenderly took my hand in his. I suddenly realized I did believe. I believed him and his words, even though everything had turned out wrong. He laid a gift in my lap, a beautiful gift, one I didn't search for, work for, or purchase. He had paid for it. I knew in an instant I had misunderstood him from the beginning. The gift that would please him wasn't something he expected from me. It was a gift he wanted to give me. I opened my angry fists, not so angry anymore. With hopeful hands, I received it. The stunningly generous gift. It was mine, I believed.
Wow. That's beautiful. It's just, it's such a picture. It's such a picture of what it's really like in our daily struggle to believe that God is who he says he is and that he really wants to be in our life who he says he wants to be. You know, we can let so much about what we wish was different navigate our thoughts. But we need to believe in the purity of God. We need to believe that we are desirable, you know, according to his eye. And I love what you're continuously emphasizing here, Michelle. Everything about our future with God, it's not dependent on us. We make choices where we reach for God or where we turn away from God, but he's done everything so that we can be successful according to his definition.
Beautiful. You know, I'll just end with this verse from 1 Thessalonians 4:4. Each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor.
Wow. That's incredible. It's incredible. You know, Michelle, we are mere people, but we have this amazing Savior. And if we would just trust that he is enough, I think it would help cast down so many lust patterns before they even begin.
Beautiful.
So I just encourage all of us ladies, everybody listening, even if there are some men out there that are listening, believe that God is enough because he is just waiting to reveal himself to you more and more deeply. And that in and of itself is just a beautiful thing and a beautiful future to look forward to. So we love you guys. We're so grateful that you joined us today. Thank you for listening. Please make sure that you join us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And join us for our next show tomorrow as we continue discussing having a balance in grace. We love you all. God bless you.